Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the newly named Lady Gang. Why? Because we got sued.
Almost.
It was a dark time. The month was dark, but we have a new name, and honestly, we feel light as a feather with our new name.
We didn't get sued.
I'm kind of excited about the name because the Lady Gang is like inclusive. Everybody can be a part of it. We don't think we're better than you because we kind of made
part of our gang. We're so excited you guys are here. Obviously, thank you for subscribing on iTunes and leaving us a review. I checked yesterday. We have over 200 reviews and only like 4 of them are mean. So
wow.
Yay for us.
I can't believe that.
That's exciting.
We have new social media. You can follow at The Lady Gang on Instagram and Twitter. And we have the Lady Gang Facebook page if you're into Facebook. You can also check out theladygang.com. And what's really cool is that in the very near future, we're going to have tons of opportunities for you guys to work with us on the site and create a really cool space for women. So we're super excited. And of course, we want to thank you for joining. And we want to thank our awesome sponsors for allowing us to bring you this podcast every week for free. Now, before we start, I do want to say one thing. We need the Lady Gang to grow. And you guys, our gang, has to help. So if you like this episode, which I think you will, please share it with your friends. Post it on your Facebook. Retweet our tweets. Post it on your Instagram and share it with your friends because we really want this to be the biggest global gang of ladies ever.
Yes. Well said, Kelty.
Thank you.
You really did that.
Scratchy smoker's voice.
It's so sexy.
Give it to me. Make out with me or something.
I used to scream into my pillow at night.
Just so hoping
I'd wake up
me
with
too.
A raspy voice. last night.
Now we're just stuck with these annoying, like, high-pitched voices.
Yeah, I'm, like, meant for animation. I can't believe I have not done an animated movie yet.
I just sound like a dumb valley girl, so that's fine.
Okay, well, what is it time for?
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
Okay, so who wants to kick this off? Jack?
Okay, so I had a really good week.
What?
Well, I mean, it's actually not that good. I had a really funny good week.
Okay.
So I go to Starbucks every morning because my Keurig broke and I just refuse to put the vinegar in it, so I'm spending a lot of money on coffee instead at Starbucks.
Vinegar, that's the dumbest thing you ever have to do.
You're supposed to put the white vinegar in it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did it. It's gross.
It probably makes your coffee taste like vinegar.
For pretty much the rest of the time you have it.
Okay. So
they won't be sponsoring the podcast.
Unless they want to because I love it. I just am too lazy to put the vinegar in. Anyways, so I went to Starbucks the other day, and there's this homeless guy that, like, always hangs out around the Starbucks. He kind of looks like Willie Nelson. He wants to be, like, a Willie Nelson impersonator. He's, like, he's really awesome. I give him money, like, anytime I see him. We have, like, little chats or whatever. And the other morning, I was going into Starbucks, and he usually has, like, a cup of coffee because he's outside of Starbucks or whatever. And so I offered to, like, get him a cup of coffee, and he's like, oh, yeah, that would be amazing. Can I have a venti, sugar-free caramel macchiato with, like, extra whipped cream?
No. You're serious?
And I was like, yeah. I mean, you know what you want, dude. I guess I'll give it to you. So I went and I got myself an iced.
You did not buy a homeless man a $9 Starbucks. A venti?
I bought myself a tall iced coffee for $1.95, and I got him, like, a $6.50 drink. But I'm like, this is the epitome of LA. Like, only in LA would that happen.
He's a hustler.
Have you heard about the homeless people that make like $100,000 a year?
Oh, yeah.
They could have jobs, but instead, that's why, you know, Jack, I love your hippie soul, but I never give anything to a homeless person. I would rather my money to go to an organized charity.
No, that's true.
I have a little bit of a phobia of New York homeless people because I had been accosted on so many subway rides.
I've gotten my ass like grabbed from underneath by a man.
One guy just started jerking off, so that was the final straw for me. I was like,
well, you guys,
and I'm out in New York. All right, so that was your good week?
I think it was a good week. I just thought it was.
It was his good week for sure.
It was
caramel macchiato.
I didn't really have that much other of a good week, so his good week transfers over to me.
I like that.
Did you have a bad week?
Yes, and this is okay. So I've been inspired by Becca talking about her bodily functions. And
get ready
hold
for
on.
My good week.
Can we just say that the episode where Becca talked about sharding her pants has been our most popular ever. And
everybody loves it.
Well, then you're going to love today's.
Also for me. Oh, okay, I'm going to talk about the lesser of my disgusting stories. So the other night, I went to eat at Sugarfish, which is like the best
sushi
place in LA. Everybody's obsessed with it. And there's always celebrities there. So, of course, this time when I went in, the whole cast of How to Get Away with Murder was sitting right next to me. Now it's a little starstruck because I would just die if any of them came on our podcast. So I'm sitting there. I'm eating my sushi. I haven't told you guys about this, but I have like a weird problem with my esophagus that like sometimes food gets like lodged in it.
Okay.
And this is a problem that happens almost all the time. Anytime I'm out to eat, like, I'll have to, like, take a second and wait for the food to kind of go down.
Are you eating too quickly?
I'm eating too quickly.
Yeah.
And it's when I don't eat and I'm, like, really hungry and I get excited, so I take a big bite and I don't chew and then it just gets lodged.
Right.
So I was eating a bunch of sushi. Sushi got lodged inside my esophagus. And sometimes when this gets bad, it starts, like, moving back up my esophagus. So I was sitting there, and it started to do that. And I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom just in case something happens. So I'm, like, waiting in line for the bathroom. There's a girl in front of me. She was taking forever. And I just feel it, like, moving up and up my esophagus. And as this girl, like, opens the door to come out, it hits my gag reflex. And...
No, you didn't.
You threw up in Sugarfish?
Like
into the toilet outside in the sink?
It was like I made it just into the toilet.
Oh god.
But it's terrifying, guys. That could have been at the table.
Have you had a doctor like tell you why you do this?
Yeah, I mean everybody has said I have a small esophagus. If this happens to anybody out there, please tell me if there's
what's
a problem
so funny
I should be aware of.
Is that that girl probably went to her table and she was like, "Oh, Hollywood."
No, I know.
That girl just throwing up her dinner.
I know.
Yeah,
and
really.
This has happened a couple of times where it like will come up and hit my esophagus. And I'm like, everybody probably thinks I'm bulimic. Awesome.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever
I've never
heard
anything like that.
I'm going to Google that.
I've tried.
I'm going to WebMD for your esophagus.
I have throat cancer, according to Google.
Really?
One time I pinched a nerve in my toe and I looked it up and I had toe cancer.
How do you pinch a nerve in your toe?
By wearing heels.
Oh, my God.
Only you, Jack Vanek. Yep. Only you.
Anyway, so that was my
life's
bad week.
Hard.
I threw up in front of the cast of How to Get Away with Murder. It sucked.
God. Okay, I'm gonna go.
Okay.
My bodily function is way more exciting than yours, by the way. Okay, good week. So I'm waking up in the morning. I'm going through my usual, like, you know, media outlet, you know, online sources, blah, 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 whatever. Trying to just be like a well-rounded American. So,
like, look
what do you
news?
Read us weekly?
Yeah, right. So I get to Twitter, and one of my favorite magazines that I follow on Twitter posts an article, and the headline is, "This woman can lift seriously heavy objects with her vagina."
I saw this.
What?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wait,
uh-huh.
How do you lift with the vagina?
So she,
put something in?
She puts a jade egg with a string tied around it into her vagina, and whatever object her little heart desires, she lifts it or ties it to the other end of the string and lifts it with her vagina.
Is this like in like extreme Kegels?
Yeah, extreme. She's 44.
Wow.
She's a sex and relationship coach. She enjoys surfing, traveling, and yoga. And lifting things with her vagina.
Now, wait, do they have pictures of this?
If you guys look on Instagram, you can just put in the hashtag things I lift with my vagina.
Wait, can you show me really quick?
Yeah, I'll show you.
You guys hold on. Have you ever been to Thailand and seen a sex show?
No.
No.
No, there's...
I'm going to tell
vaginas, ping pongs out of there.
Vaginas can do amazing things.
What?
I, at the sex show in Thailand, I saw a woman blow out like 10 birthday candles with her vagina.
What?
I saw a woman pull a Hawaiian lei out of her vagina and then put it around her neck.
I mean, that's fine. All you have to do is stuff it up there. But how do you blow air out of it?
I have
queefing.
No idea.
Oh,
and then I also saw a woman shoot ping pong balls out of her vagina.
What?
Here's the thing, though.
Well,
do you think her sex life is good? Because if she can hold that jade ball in her vagina, she must be able to, like, contract it.
I can do that. Everybody can do that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Extreme Kegels.
You can't squeeze a penis in your vagina when it's in there?
You can squeeze it, yeah.
You know you're doing it right now.
All right.
Can you do it?
Are you trying?
Anyways, While you guys are sitting around listening to this, also go and look at the hashtag things I lift with my vagina. There's a picture of this woman in like from a photo shoot, literally holding a chandelier between her legs.
Oh my God, this is a beautiful photo.
It's a beautiful photo. Anyways, that's my good week because it really clearly wasn't that eventful, but I just thought it was amazing that people like this are out there in the world. Like,
and that she's like 44.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, you think maybe if you have an extreme awesome vagina, you're like 18.
Are you ready for my bad week?
Yep.
Here's my bad week.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to preface this with a little part of my favorite comedian, Amy Schumer's stand-up. Just remember this while I go into my story. So when she does her stand-up, she has a joke where she'll say something along the lines of, tonight I have one goal, to take off my underwear at the end of the night and have it not look like I blew my nose into it.
Oh, yeah.
Life goals.
Life goals. And she's like, oh, I take off my underwear, and I'm like, oh, Charlotte's Web was filmed in here. Okay? So all you girls know what we're talking about.
Everyone knows what we're talking about.
I know,
okay?
Yeah.
Sunny side up. So, I've had a crazy, crazy week. I'm working on this project that I'm working 12 hours a day. I'm going to work every day in like sweatpants and like my eyes are barely open. And my car looks like I'm living in it. Cause it's like when you're kind of running around, like the busier you get, the crazier the stuff in the car is that you find. So I'm emptying out my car last night. I get home, I'm exhausted. And I grab like a bundle of clothing, like dirty clothes that I had.
Oh my God, I know where this is going.
No. Okay, so I go inside. So my boyfriend comes to visit. He gets in town today and he goes to get us coffees this morning and he sends me a picture text.
Oh my God.
And it's a pair of my underwear and two little tiny ankle socks. Very like, and he does my laundry, or he helps me do laundry a lot, and he's really good at folding. Like, I'm like, you're the best at folding. So he really knows my clothing. So he takes this picture and it's on the ground and I'm like, it's on concrete. Like, where is this? Where is he? Where is this? And then I'm like, oh my God, it's my parking garage. And and I'm like, oh my God. He's like, did you lose something? And I'm like, yeah, I must have dropped that on my way inside of the apartment the other day. He goes, well, your neighbors are probably thrilled. I just moved them from the middle of the parking garage. The middle. And I just texted him. I almost didn't have, like, I was so ashamed. And I was like, yeah, those are my dirty clothes from my car. It's mortifying. And he's like, yeah. They weren't laying in a very flattering position either.
And they were obviously Amy Schumer.
They were soiled.
Yeah, when he says not in the most flattering position, first thing that goes through my mind is like doo-doo stain. But no. That actually hasn't happened to me in
2 weeks.
Days. Anyways, no. And I'm like, oh no. So he picks it up and he brings it inside like a true gentleman. A real gentleman wouldn't have even told me that he found my underwear sunny side up in the middle of the parking garage in my building. Yeah. So there's my bad week.
That wasn't that bad.
Are
your
you
other
kidding
bad week
me?
Was worse than that.
Your
no,
boyfriend
I
seeing
think
that?
Dirty underwear is like something
I'd rather
I'd hide from everyone.
I would like rather someone see my dirty tampon than my dirty underwear.
100%. Because everyone knows that tampons are dirty, but there's like this whole myth like that you take off your lacy underwear and it's just like pristine.
It's like as good as new. Nope.
And it's not. Guys,
no.
Life
Nail
is hard down
trail.
There.
Yeah, my boyfriend also sent me a snail emoji.
Snail
yeah, snail trail.
First of all, bad week. If you guys can't tell, I'm very sick. But
or you're just a two-pack-a-day smoker.
I am committed to my career. And so would I ever call in sick to the Lady Gang podcast? No. I'm going to show up and make the rest of you sick tomorrow. No. I have been on... since Monday, 5 planes in 5 days and in 4 different cities because it's a crazy time in my life. And so that's just my bad week is that I'm sick.
Oh, poor you. You're traveling so much.
So poor me. I was
traveling. How was the bread basket in first class?
I was in business class for one flight.
Here's the thing. I will say, I felt so sad for myself because I do feel so sick. And then I was like, oh, God, I have another flight at 6 a.m. And I was like, oh, it's so quiet here in the first class lounge. I laid down on like a couch and took a nap until they were like, Ms. Knight, your flight's boarding. Do you want help with your bag? I'm like, I do want help with my bag. And then I got on and I was in seat 1A, which is like the first seat in first class. And it's a pod all to yourself. And I laid down and I took a Xanax and I was like, oh, I'm just so sick. As I put like the fluffy comforter over me and laid my chair flat.
You're embarrassing.
Meanwhile, some guy in economy has like dengue fever using a neck pillow.
Okay, I do have a really good week, bad week though. So here's what happened to me. I was in Zara because I ran out of clothes.
Love Zara.
Yeah, love Zara. And I was really excited and I wasn't my best. I wasn't cute 100%, but I wasn't ugly. I was like 50% like cute shopping out, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm by the skirts and three like kind of cute college age guys were like looking at me and I was like, oh, whoa. They're looking at me. And then this guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, where do I know you from? And I was like, I get this all the time from TV. No, I was like, I don't know. I was like, oh, do we know each other? And I'm trying to pretend like we're the same age. Like maybe we've hung out together. No, there's a decade between us.
You're like, I'm a Kappa Mille.
Yeah. And
wait, where is this? Is this in LA?
In LA, at the Grove. Yeah. And he goes, he's like, no, I know you from somewhere. And I was like, I said to him, oh, well, you know, I get that a lot. People don't know my name, but like, because they see me in the sports bars on TV. And I was like, I work on a TV show. And he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, where have we met, though? And I was like,
oh my God, dude.
I don't know. And he's like totally hitting on me. And I was like, I still got it. I'm so hot in Zara. Their three friends were all like giggly. And I was like kind of like, ha, ha, ha.
Was he hot?
He was super hot. And I was
How
like,
old was he?
Like probably 21, 22, like young, but like cute. And like they had like Yeezy boots on. Like they were like cool, you know? Wasn't like old gross guy. It was like someone that people would be like, if you're 21, you'd want to date this guy. So we're talking. Not really. And I was like, okay.
He's flirting back.
I'm like, I flirt back. But
you gave him your number.
I was like, And then I like moved down to the blouse area. And I was like, okay, have a nice day, guys. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, let's keep talking. And I was like, no. I was like, I got to find something to wear. Like, see you later.
And of course
I was like,
you could have been like,
I have a husband.
That also.
No, 21-year-old boys don't even notice there's a ring on that finger.
They don't notice. And they don't care. So then I was like, oh, my God. And then I, like, go down the escalator in Zara, and I'm waiting to check out. And I was like, wow, you know, Kelty, you still got it. Like, you're not even 100% pretty right now. You're just at your 50% best. But, like, those guys really thought you were their age. And you know what? It was just like my birthday week, right? 34. Woo. I was like, ooh, you know? And I was like, I still got it. I'm hot. And then I'm like, just looking on Instagram. And then I look over to the right. And these three boys are now hitting on someone else.
No.
And that girl was like,
really 21.
Just okay. You know? And I was like, what's happening?
Did you check your purse? Were they actually pickpocketing
you?
No. I know,
then I look across the Zara. And these guys are YouTubers, and they are filming themselves picking up girls at Zara.
Wait, tell me they have you, Kelty Knight asshole, being like, well, I'm on TV.
Oh, my God. Do we know who they are? We have to.
I have no idea. And so I started trying to, like, figure out who they were. But they were so cocky, and I was like, of course, they're probably huge YouTube. So if anyone knows what this trio of guys is on YouTube. And then I was instantly mortified that I was like, I am on TV now.
But don't you have to sign like a waiver for that?
Well, they didn't make me sign a waiver. I was thinking about that today. They didn't make me sign a waiver. So I do feel like I'm probably safe because I was also not funny. But I was, you know, it hurt my feelings.
That is so
for
amazing.
One moment in time, I was really hot. And then instantly my dreams.
Listen,
that is a good week. Instantly flip-flopped into a bad week.
That is incredible.
I'm obsessed with that story.
Thanks.
Well, I was like, oh, haha, it's going to be a hidden camera. And it was.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to shove my face with about 100 more M&Ms.
Yep.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
Okay, we're back.
That's true.
We're going to talk about our worst celebrity encounters.
Oh, every one of them?
I'll just tell mine. I'll tell mine. It's Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm going to name
names. You're ready. You're ready.
I'm going to tell
mine. Drop the bomb.
I'm going to drop the bomb. Now, I have since made up with Jake Gyllenhaal, but...
Were you guys in a feud?
We weren't in a feud,
did
but
Perez help
here's,
you
the,
cover it?
Here's the truth. Every time someone would say, you know, the question I get asked the most about my job is like, who's the worst celebrity in Hollywood? Well, there's lots, but I'm not going to name their names because I will give them the benefit of the doubt. But Jake Gyllenhaal, I was always like, Jake Gyllenhaal. And then every woman I know was like, what? I love Jake. And I was like, no, he is not a nice person. Because of this, I was on a carpet for one of his movies and I was interviewing him. And what happens when you're doing red carpet interviews is there's a lot of action, there's a lot of movement. And so when the person stands in front of you and it's your time to interview, I always do what's called like a warm up, which is just like, oh my God, your dress is beautiful. Or like, I love that ring. Or wow, your hair color is great. Or like, great suit, Jake. And I do that because I need my cameraman to have 5 seconds to like get that person in focus. We're not going to air that. That's not the meat and potatoes of what I want to ask you, but like I need that 5 seconds to make sure the mic's on, like, et cetera. So Jake comes down. It's his movie. P.S. It's cold out. The carpet's outside. I've been waiting for like 3 hours for you to show up, Jake. Anyway, so I have the mic and I'm doing my warm up and the movie, he had a big neck tattoo and Jake Gyllenhaal's super sexy. And in the movie is super sexy.
Wait, what movie?
Southpaw?
It was called Passenger. No, I can't remember. It was with Hugh Jackman was in it, and it was like a kid gets taken away.
Oh, it's not Brothers.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
The like, yeah, the like kid gets. I can't remember.
I saw it.
I'll tweet it. Anyway, so I said to him, I said, oh Jake, that you should win an Oscar for sexiest neck tattoo. Ha 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 ha! Like laughing. Just my warm-up question. And he looked at me in the eye and was like, what? And then walked away.
He didn't even give you your interview.
He didn't even do an interview. He looked at me like I had just said, Jake, you have a tiny penis. I said you were sexy.
That's like code for tiny penis. You never know.
I have no idea. So ever since that day, I was like, you know what? We're here to support you. We're here to support your movie. That's not nice. So anyway, 2 years goes by. And I don't see Jake again. And this whole time, I've been like, Jake's my least favorite person in Hollywood. Then he did this movie called Southpaw, which was excellent. And I got assigned to the press junket. And I was like, I can't believe they're making me interview Jake Gyllenhaal. Anyway, I was going to win Jake over. I wore my sexiest pantsuit. I put on a nice smelly perfume. I had like really beautiful hair. And I was like, I'm going to win him over. So he sits down and I was like, Jake, you're going to win an Oscar. And he was like, what? Anyway, we had the best interview ever. He was so nice, you guys. Like, he was so lovely.
A male actor for you.
It was, right? Is that what happens?
What,
anyway,
one, like,
telling him he's going to win an Oscar.
Like, oh, of course. Like, oh my God, hey.
Anyway,
of course he's going to be
he
nice.
Was
you
so nice.
His neck tattoo. That's why I got pissed.
I guess. He was so nice. The whole interview was amazing. From then on, I've seen him and he's like, hey, Kelty, how are you? Honestly, my director the next day wrote me an email when he was like cutting the piece and he said, I think Jake Gyllenhaal wanted to marry you. That's how much he liked me in this interview. So anyway, that's my worst celebrity encounter turned into Jake, you're fine.
That's not that bad.
Wow. I mean, I see, I've never had a celebrity, knock on wood, ever be like nasty to me or, you know, treat me badly or I don't know. Like, I have had situations though where I've worked on projects with some A-list people and. I think the most disheartening thing about that is you see 9 times out of 10 that these people are actually not who you want to grow up to be. Like being a young-ish actress, I mean, I'm getting up there, but these people are older than I am. You know, I would say like late 30s, 40s. And they've had the dream careers, like everything you can ever dream for as a little girl if you want to become an actress. And you meet these people and you realize that sometimes getting everything that you want actually makes you a dickhead. And super entitled.
Yes men around you.
Yeah, and super entitled. And what I've also noticed is that they're so out of touch with the world. And they're so incapable of having human interaction with people who are civilians, That I actually kind of feel sorry for them. I watch their like conversations with crew members or, you know, costume designers or whatever it may be. And I'm like watching and it's like an alien trying to connect with humanity. It's really sad. And they're not even necessarily like terrible people, but as an actress watching that, in my mind, I make the mental note of being like, you know what? Sometimes it isn't all just wonderful roses. And they do these interviews in these magazines, these people, especially these women, and they want you to read them and to be like, they're just like us. Like, look at how normal she is taking her kids to school. Look how normal she is walking out the door with
like,
no
what,
makeup.
Can you drive a car?
Yeah, like it's like shocking to me that these people are so far from normal. And by that, I mean just out of touch and like, I mean, on their own planets, truly.
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 Jack, have you ever had a celebrity encounter that didn't involve the bed?
Did you just call me a slut?
No. I think a star effer.
I am not a star
I'm just kidding.
You're really not.
I actually can't even think of a single celebrity that I've had sex with. I've had sex with a pro wrestler. That's like a celebrity that
what?
I go to.
Did he give you like the slam rot macho man?
It was literally exactly how having sex with a pro wrestler would be like if you imagine it in your mind. It was very intense and aggressively athletic.
Was it hot?
Yeah. But it's not like I got off from it. Wasn't sexy or anything,
right?
To me. I guess, well, okay, so I'm obviously not in the entertainment world, so I don't encounter celebrities
until now
as much as both of you do, but I will talk about the one that I think that got away from me. Ooh. In the celebrity world,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's not Jake. So when I was like 21, I lived next door to Liam and Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, in West Hollywood. We lived in the same apartment complex. Them two and this guy Yanni all lived in literally like maybe one bedroom with a office or something like that. They're just like squished into it. And it was like right when Liam was dating Miley and like all that kind of stuff was going on.
Miley, what's good? Was she up at your house?
She would come to the apartment like all the time. But then it was before Chris Hemsworth was anything. He hadn't even been in like Star Trek yet or anything like that. And, you know, everybody, like, in our apartment complex would always be hanging out. We'd, like, go up to their apartment to hang out. And I never thought about how hot he is. Because as a 21-year-old, I was, like, chasing after scrawny musicians that would, like, treat me badly or whatever. And
you made a grave error.
I made an error in life because he could have been my husband. But then he got married to some, like, hot Australian model. So
who
probably
is
not me.
Really hot. She's also, like, yeah.
Dang. She's, like, the hottest.
I mean it's so not that your boyfriend's so bad.
Which, horrible. Oh, my God. By the way, Jack.
What?
I'm okay.
We're almost going to unfriend you.
No.
I'm that annoying
really cute,
person.
But you just took the words out of my mouth.
I know. I said that on Instagram. I'm like, I'm officially the annoying person that posts way too many pictures
on your Instagram. And like,
have you been to his? He posts way more.
Yeah, uh-huh. Also, I have to talk to him about something. Because I went down in the depths of his Instagram. When you get into a new relationship,
you have to delete the old relationship.
I know.
There's pictures with him and some girl at the Ritz at Point Dana Point.
You know what? We've talked about this.
It's time to come down.
Well, especially when you don't have a lot of posts on Instagram. It's like four posts away. You had a picture with another girl.
Yeah, you gotta nip that in the bud.
I know.
Also, what is that protocol? Like, do you go through your social media after a breakup or once you're with the new person? And do you erase everything?
I feel like if, like I said, it's like if you don't have that many posts and you could easily go down and be like, because I've posted me and my ex-boyfriend from 2 years ago, but I have probably 2,000 posts in between those. So you're not going to like see it.
I think you have to do it. I think you have to.
He's deleted some of them. I don't know why.
Some? Why not all?
I don't know. I'm like, that's a good
one. Yeah, you're going to have a fight tonight. Makeup sex tomorrow.
That's fine. Anyways, Chris Hemsworth, the one that got away. That's the moral of that story.
Funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
All right, guys. So this is my favorite part of the podcast because we get to give people advice, sometimes terribly, sometimes not so terribly, sometimes maybe just telling people to drink a bottle of wine because that's what we did the other week.
Yep.
For every question.
Did we?
Yep.
Yes. Did you not listen to it? Come on, Becca. You got to listen to your own podcast.
I haven't had a chance yet.
I cringe listening to my voice. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
So This has now changed to hashtag Ask the Lady Gang.
Ask the Lady Gang.
So don't ask the other thing that we used to be.
We can't even say it.
It's like Voldemort. He cannot be named or whatever.
Old name that shall not be said.
So don't say Voldemort. Okay. Our first question comes from at Tess R. Hunter on Twitter, I'm assuming. She says, my boyfriend of a year broke up with me after the breakup. And again, after Christmas, I messaged him to stop talking to me since he is trying to engage in small talk. I wanted space to heal so that maybe we can be friends one day. I have to work with him in the summer and I don't know how to approach this situation. Please help.
Oof.
I personally believe, I personally have never talked to an ex after I've broken up with them. I believe in a very clean break.
Yes.
Because it never does any good. If you're breaking up, you're probably breaking up for a reason, and that just is going to hurt somebody on one end.
I think the only time it works, like, for instance, I had a boyfriend when I was in grade 11 who's now, like, traveling the world and helping people in Cambodia and has a really cool life. It's been 17 years. Like,
yeah.
And sometimes we message on Facebook, and I'm like, that's oh my God, your life looks great.
Yeah.
Like, that's a... If there's been a decade of space and you feel like you can come around and have, like, you're married off and whatever, then it's fine. But I think that the small talk of it all, like, it's just impossible to be friends with someone that you used to love.
And it's just like, what's the end game in that, you know?
And also, if you didn't make it as a couple, like, are you meant to be that good of friends? Like, I think it's always awkward and weird.
Yeah, I mean, and if you are forced to work with him over the summer... First of all, if you have to work with him over the summer, this is what I'm going to give you, like, the tough love, very adult advice that I wish someone had given me. I know it's really tempting to put yourself in those situations where you're like, I'll go to work every day and I'll look cute and I'll make him eat his words and blah, 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 blah. Like, that is never, ever, ever going to turn out the way that you want it.
Yeah, 100%.
He will have a lot of sex with you this summer, but guess what? You're going to be single at Christmas again. So it's like, if you can get out of having to do that, that is like probably the biggest thing you can do, the most adult thing that you can do. And if you do that, the universe will probably open up the doors to Prince Charming to you, because that's another thing, is by kicking these old guys back, put them back in the trash can where they belong.
Yep.
Put them there, shut the lid, because then you're allowing some other really great things to come into your life. 100%. I am a firm believer
I believe that if you
don't do that and keep these guys around to give you attention or to give you company or like the random – you know, hook up here and there, the universe will hold out on you.
Well, and it's like, you've talked about the energy bank, that whole analogy that you're using the other show. Yeah. And I've had a couple friends that continue to, you know, hold on to these like masochistic relationships just because they're lonely or they're unconfident in finding something else or whatever. And it's just, I feel the key to like finding happiness in my relationship now is I was very, very open and receptive to it because I didn't have anything like holding me back, even like little things and like little flings that just made me feel better because I just wanted somebody to tell me I'm pretty. It's, you need to be open and receptive to something good and not putting your energy in these other places.
And the last thing I will just add is that something I have learned, because I'm not strong like Jack and Becca, I have definitely been in a place where I've like tried to like be at the party that the person's at so they could just see how great I am. Like, I am that wimp. Is that no matter what, the person is never going to say the thing that you want them to say. Because the thing you want them to say is, I love you. I was wrong. We're meant to be together. You're the best and the prettiest. And like, you broke up for a reason and they're just never going to say that. So avoid the disappointment. All right. What's next, Jack?
Okay. So second question is from Stefan Bus C on Twitter. She says, if you're pretty sure your boss hates you, is it better to kill them with kindness or stay under the radar?
Oof.
You guys will be good at this. I've been my own boss my entire life.
I'm going to say this. If your boss hates you, just ask yourself one question. Are you annoying them? No, I'm dead serious. Like, I think I'm a pretty reasonable person, but anytime I've worked with people or had people work for me, I don't hate them, but they could go home and be like, oh, like, what's this, like, vibe I'm getting? Like, what is that? You know, your boss is probably pretty busy and has, like, a million other things on their brain. So their job is actually not to make you happy, unfortunately. That's not their primary job. But your job, unfortunately, is to make them happy. So it's going to be an imbalance all the time. But I've often had experiences where I'm like, if that person would just stop annoying me. It's not a person – like, I don't hate them. I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're bad at their job. this might not be the case for it, but look at yourself, like step outside of yourself, get a little self-awareness, ask for a little feedback. Maybe you're asking too many questions. Maybe you can't do anything right because you're not listening. Like, you know, we all make those mistakes, but I think when I see my friends who have trouble with their employees, it's always the first, like the first complaint is they just bug the shit out of me.
Yep, 100%. And I also think I've definitely been in situations where and not just bosses, but like other workers, like people that I have to work with. And I've tried to walk in the room and be like, I want to make it clear that I'm not begging what you're raking and I don't want to be a part of this. It always comes back to bite you in the butt. My husband told me once the best advice, and he was like, which everyone has heard, keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to kill anyone with kindness, but if you really despise someone or something that someone's doing is driving you crazy and you feel like, can't you see I hate you so much? You have to swallow all those urges down and just be like, uh-huh, sure. And then go home and write in your gratitude journal, because this, the real,
I was gonna say, use a voodoo doll, but right,
but the real world, not everyone's gonna like you and you're not gonna like everyone, but those people that you don't like, that you have friction with, they're going to also tell all their people about you, and it's better to just fly under the radar, keep to yourself, and pretend like you don't notice they're acting that way.
Also, like, killing with kindness is so transparent. Don't do that.
I know.
Just be good at your job and fly under the radar.
Yeah, if you're not
just kind of like hide out. Hide out and like don't put yourself, like, I've had bosses in the past where like if I'm around them too much, then it starts going like kind of badly, you know? Like, I hide out. Like, just hide out, and when you're needed, be there, be great, and when you're not needed, be out of their sight.
Yeah.
All right. That's great answers, guys. I'll take that into consideration.
Sure. Thanks, Jack.
Being my own boss. Okay, so the last question is from email from Khadija Abdi.
And so pretty.
It's a beautiful name. I butchered it. She says, I used to have a lot of friends growing up, but they were all unhealthy and made me feel bad about myself and my accomplishments. I've cut them out of my life, and I feel happy for that, but I've never felt so alone. Did I do the right thing?
Oof. Mm-hmm. It's a hard one.
This reminds me of a Third Eye Blind lyric.
What is it?
I've never been so alone, and
I've never felt so alive.
I don't know why I just tried to sing.
Oh, my God.
Anyways.
Becca's the singer.
Hardly. Well, I'm going to say if it's between friends who make you feel bad about yourself and being alone, you got to suck it up and just deal with being alone. And then it's time to branch out and see people who are like-minded and who are also trying to accomplish things just like you and who are supportive. Like, it's really hard to find those girls out there, especially if you're younger. Mm-hmm. I think we're wired. It's so unfair how women are wired. It is just our nature to not want to support each other. But there are people out there who do. It's the minority.
I think it also has to do with you need to be confident in yourself, because people are going to come and go in your lives no matter what, whether that be on your accord or their accord. And you have to be comfortable with like the company you keep when you're alone.
And also, listen, Tay Swizzle made it like this thing that everyone has to have a squad. She's like 19 best friends in her squad. That's not real life. You know what?
And those are probably not her best friends anyways.
100%. If you have one friend that is like your go-to person, if you have two friends, how lucky are you?
You know what I mean? Yeah, if you have one person that you can trust, that's one more person.
And that person can be your mom. That person can be your sister. Like, you don't have to have a million friends. And if they're making you feel bad about yourself, I think a real friend has two jobs. Number one, a real friend is the someone that can come to you and say, your bangs are horrible, or you're acting like an asshole, or like, this is not the right relationship for you. Like, you want your friends to sometimes give you that tough love, and that's really hard, right? Like, you don't get that from everyone. But your friends are also need to be your cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. And if they're not happy for you,
kick
them
to the curb.
Kick rocks.
Awesome. That was really fun. I feel like we had a real deep conversation today.
We really did.
We don't always have to be ridiculous.
Well, that was, I mean, I talked ridiculous. About my dirty underwear.
I talked about throwing up.
Guys, we have some amazing, amazing shows coming up in March. Honestly, the celebs that are stopping by are getting better and better. We're so excited. Make sure that you subscribe on iTunes. It's very important. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Lady Gang podcast.
Leave us 5 stars also. It really upsets me when you don't leave us stars, and I want 5.
5 all the time, and nice comments, and all of that. Make us feel popular on iTunes.
And make sure to follow our new Instagram, The Lady Gang. We have over 5,000 followers already, which is really cool.
Dude, we have like 5,300.
Woo! Follow It's Becca Tobin, at Jack Vanek, and Kelty Knight. And don't forget to submit your Ask the Lady Gang questions to us each week. Most importantly, if you love this episode, if you've just finished listening to it, can you please retweet it? Can you please post it on your Facebook and say, I don't know about you guys, but everyone should listen to this. It helps us so much. We love you guys. Thank you for making our dreams
come true.
That was Jack, not me, as any of you were wondering.
I've sang twice.
Yay! Woo!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Thanks for listening.